morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I'm going to be with you for about 55 minutes. I have a guy today. He's new to the city council. I feel as though I've known him for a long time because I know his parents. And he's really, in my opinion, doing a nice job. He's collegial. When he does speak, he has something to say or an intelligent question to ask. And I think that is the three things that are so important to a counselor if they want to get stuff done for us, the people. So without further ado, I will introduce Matthew Matt Rinn. And Matt, welcome.
Thanks for having me. As usual, I enjoy coming on and chatting.
Well, you know, you've got golly, you're almost a year into your service. Wow.
That's it?
Wow.
It certainly feels a lot longer.
Oh, I'll bet it does. I'll bet it does. What have you found the most rewarding part of being on there?
I've said this to a lot of people too. The most rewarding thing is for me is, you know, having someone call you or email you or text you with a problem and you come up with a solution and you work together with city agencies and you get it done. And then having just, a light street light changed for them or, you know, a pothole filled in, they call and say, you know, I really appreciate it. I can't believe you did that. And then that's worth the price of the admission itself. You know, that's why I wanted to do this. And
yeah. Like I said, I applaud you for that. I really do, because that's what I see as a ward counselor. You know, right. I mean, obviously you work on the budget and bigger things, but taking care of the peeps, you know?
Yep. No, that's the biggest thing that I enjoy about it is, like I said, just making sure, you know, even just a callback, if it's something that's not even a city related problem, you know, people just want to know, you know, maybe a suggestion on who to contact, you know, what department, what company, what, you know, just answering people back and being cordial with them and, you know, showing them the respect that they deserve.
Yeah, and you see today, I mean, there's so many folks that are involved with politics, but it's for them. I don't see that with you.
I appreciate that. Thanks.
No, I mean, I watched because, I would go to the meetings, but I've asked Peter White and Peter Marchetti for recliners and a porta bar in the back. It just makes it easier watching, really.
I could get behind that petition.
Yeah. And what have you found the most challenging?
I try to go into things, you know, pragmatically I try not to let the challenges get in my way. There's a lot of commitments and stuff like that. That's the biggest challenge. My family supported me in that. And I think that's the biggest challenge is just, you know, making sure you're good at time management and, you know, making sure you can make time to resolve these problems and go to meetings and stay on top of meetings. And that's the beauty in the radio and PCTV. It's, you know, I can watch the school committee meeting tomorrow night from my phone at a practice or one of my kids' games or that's the biggest challenge.
Yeah. What are your feelings about that joint meeting that you're going to have with the school? I kind of think it's a good idea.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. This may be a unpopular opinion on my end, but you know, there needs to be something different done with this. You know, the school committee. In the schools. You know, we go there every time with these joint meetings and they're great. And Superintendent Curtis is great. He's, you know, he's very dedicated to the kids in this community and education. But we're all sick of seeing the same PowerPoint presentation and being told this is happening and that's happening. And it may not be all accurate. I think in general, just getting both groups on the same page and opening the dialogue and getting a discussion and trying to work together and figuring out what we can do to make the schools better and make, you know, and not also just make the schools better for our kids, but make the schools better for our teachers and our paras and our administrators and everyone else. So, you know, that they can have a good working environment.
One of the things I would hope that the council would ask of the school department, the superintendent, how many of the things that are mandated by the state, and then which ones are mandated by the federal government? Because I think I think some people on the city council will be a little taken aback, because there's so much mandated, and I don't know why. I've been around a while. Thanks for not noticing. I've been around a while, and I used to get these reports that were just superfluous. They were just making somebody's job. And I know they're always beating up the superintendent and the people who work at Mercer, right? Well, find out why they're there and what they do. I'm not defending them. I'm just saying, I think, like any bureaucracy, whether it be the State Department of Education, the federal part, they become bloated with people who you triggered it with me. My wife was a classroom teacher for over 40 years. I think we need to hear more, not we, they, Boston Department of Ed, need to hear more from the people with boots on the ground.
Right.
In the classrooms, because education has changed dramatically.
Yeah, and I've always been a boisterous supporter of teachers, you know, and I think that's why we gave the superintendent such a hard time about administrating positions. It's like, you know, we can't get good teachers, but we're pulling quality teachers out of the classroom and bringing them to the Mercer building, you know, and, you know, they're not influencing the classroom as much as they could if they were working inside school. You know, as well as I do, of how valuable a teacher-student relationship can be. And I'm just, you know, from what I'm hearing from a lot of people in the schools, a lot of teachers, a lot of different positions, that's, you know, that's not the case right now.
Yeah. But I go back to, well, I guess the thing that offends, what are they, underperforming schools, underperforming in whose standards?
Right.
Some guy with a PhD who's never been in a classroom.
Right.
You know, we're an urban community.
And I'd say that's the, you know, sorry to cut you off, Bill, but that's one of the reasons why these joint meetings are valuable, because, you know, it can make, you know, I don't understand everything about how the process is.
And
the question says, what jobs are mandated? What are required? You know, why can't we go back to having just a deputy superintendent to, you know, take the load off of Superintendent Curtis? You know, I know he takes on a lot. And, you know, we seem to be doing the same thing every year, you know, year in and year out, making different changes, you know, and ultimately we're still resulting in the same failures in the same areas.
But I would ask, you know, I took a not offense, but I'm on with Matt. I'm sorry, Missy. The president was calling. You're on your way to Africa. Don't be bothering me with calls. No. what do I want to say? There's a certain portion of a child's education, you can agree or disagree with me. There's a certain portion of a child's education is dependent upon the school district and the teachers and the delivery. But there's also a part of that education that's to the parents and grandparents and community. And when you look at those attendance rates, that and here's where I'm coming from, Matt. I ran the Violent Youthful Offender Program. They would story after story. Hello.
Hi, Bill. It's Amy.
I'm on a live Zoom. Can I call you back?
Sorry.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, absolutely.
There. Otherwise, she'd call forever. and one of the things was that their attendance, and then it was almost like a downward spiral. They didn't go to school. They fell behind. They became, and so I think there's more to underperforming schools than just the term.
Yeah,
That's just me.
Right. You know, I don't know what, you know, certain guidelines from the state and federal government come in about, you know, the level of discretion a school may have in, you know, punishments or, you know, contacting families and, you know, you see, you know, you want to see kids wearing jackets to school in the wintertime, but, you know, parents get all mad at, you know, calling them out for forgetting to send their kid to school with a jacket, you know, and yeah. I get it with kids now. I mean, it's a fight with my kids every morning. Like, yeah, you're wearing a jacket. It's 25 degrees, you know, and I get that.
I don't need it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't think I think I was probably the same. I'm looking at myself in the mirror when I was a young kid going, I don't want to wear my jacket, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but there are kids out there that, you know, they're in an unfortunate situation where they don't have the means to have a new jacket
every
year, or, you know, that they don't have the ability to get a donation. And you know, I know our schools do a pretty good job of making sure that our less fortunate, you know, students are taken care of the best that they can and within the means they have.
You know, I'll tell you a true story. I teach 4 or 5 teachers at a school. I won't tell you where. Got together and went out to somewhere, one of the big box stores, bought 5 or 6 coats for kids that showed up on a couple of cold days with, like, jackets.
Yeah.
And, you know, all that's done behind the scenes. And I think that's good. But, yeah, I think I hear what you're saying. But I think the meetings are good. Only because you can express that and they can respond to it. I watched those. I watched those meetings, and I really, I think the dialogue on the first one there a couple months ago, that was a little light. But I think there could be more dialogue and understanding before you get into the budget process all over again.
Right. So I don't know what is going to happen with the federal government with federal education and what kind of grants that are going to be available. So that might be a larger challenge we might have for the next budget season. You know, we're not going to know how much money there is in federal funding. So I assume that they're going to be looking for more money from, you know, from us, from the taxpayers. So I think that's good to have that open dialogue, because obviously they know more about what projections might be for money coming in from the federal government. Yeah.
I was really shocked they pulled back that extra money. You know, they had those people that helped the kids come back from COVID. That was a big hit. So soon, because now everything shows some of these kids are really far behind.
Yep. I mean, you notice it, you know, that a lot of teachers, you know, had said that group, you know, when they were a certain age group, whether it be, you know, in second or third grade when you know, we were all, you know, Zoom classroom, they're, you know, a little bit more delayed in developing and gaining those skills they need. But I still think we have complete faith in our teachers that, you know, the majority of these kids will catch up, you know?
Yeah. It's not the teachers. It's the bureaucracy of education. In my opinion. Oh, I better do this or you'll get in trouble. The views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department School Committee, Peter Marchetti and the mayor's office, Peter White and the city council, and the person who rode their bike to work today. God love you. You won't pollute the atmosphere, but you may freeze to death. You know, the other piece, in now that you're in the trenches, you're seeing it. We got a tremendous workforce in the city.
Right.
From Jim Clark and Veterans Affairs and seniors to the men and women in all the departments. I mean, I really, really think we do.
I can't say enough good things about Jim. I mean, I've always been very supportive of, you know, our military and our veterans and just watching the way Jim makes it makes everyone just be more aware and, you know, a lot of people forget, and Jim's a good asset in this city. And, you know, I hope he never retires, because I don't know who can replace. He's got big shoes to fill.
literally and figuratively. Yeah. He's got big shoes because he's a big guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but and it's everywhere. I mean, City Hall, you walk in there, everybody is amenable to helping you.
Right.
You know, well, our police and fire, of course, your father was a fireman, my father was a fireman. So I listened to that scanner on a freezing cold night. They're getting up to go out to, you know, some medical call or potential this or
car accident or whatever it may be.
Yeah. And I don't think we give enough recognition. That's what the word I was looking for. To all our city employees. I mean, I hear people picking on them, you know, You know what? Do what they do. I had right. one guy many years ago, I'll share this with you. You'll probably see it. A plow driver. We had a wicked winter. I mean, a wicked winter. And I saw him one day and I said, so how's it going? He goes, I just would like to have 8 hours sleep. And then I would like to be able to spend a day with my family. So they forget that stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. No, I see it. And, you know, even like just having a small problem fixed, you know, I try to, you know, do what I can do. And, you know, I send a text message to some of the guys, like, I appreciate what you do. You know, and I don't know, I hope it doesn't fall on deaf ears with those guys, but, you know, it is appreciated, you know, and I think I could speak for all the other counselors as well, as when we're, you know, riding them about certain things, or we sending multiple emails or making multiple calls, and we know the restrictions they have budgetary, you know, we know the manpower that we have, but it doesn't go unnoticed, you know, and we you know, get a call from a constituent that says, you know, I called you yesterday and they were out there this morning, like stuff like that, you know, and they don't get enough much credit for that kind of stuff.
And or it's 10:30 at night and there's a water leak in the freezing right. cold. They're out doing that.
A constituent I have on Elm Street last Sunday night, past Sunday, the following Sunday, there was a backup on the street. You know, we called the emergency line and they were there within a few hours.
Yeah.
On a Sunday night. I mean.
I worked in Lanesboro and I still love my time up there, but we have a permanent fire department. We have a permanent police department, a permanent, and we have sewer and we have water and we have trash pickup we have a lot of things. So do I like to pay taxes? No. Do I like to see them go up? No. But Roseanne and I, we used to be on a, you know, fixed income. Now we're on a shrinking income. I still look at the services we get. Not that we shouldn't cut taxes or inefficiency. I agree with that. But, you know, we get a lot of service.
Yeah. Yep. And I think, you know, personally, I think just for me, you know, I'm in the same boat as most everybody else. I got a family. I got, you know, I'm you know, paycheck to paycheck sometimes. And, you know, we need to, you know, I like to look at things a little more, like I said, pragmatically and say, all right, we should be cutting this and cutting that. And I understand there's obligations with union situations, but, you know, I like last year's budget season, I think, you know, the mayor did a good job. I mean, just trying to cut as much as we can. And unfortunately, I think it's going to be even worse this year. You know, we're going to have to try to make cuts this year as well.
It appears so.
And you just hope that, it's not, you know, people, you know, you don't want to see anybody lose their job. And that's the hardest part of dealing with, you know, you're saying, hey, let's cut X amount of dollars from this specific budget, but that could be a job or two. And that's unfortunate.
Yeah. And just to dovetail on that, I'm kind of sad that have to run out to Staples this afternoon. They're closing December 13th. I mean, I'm a pretty heartless guy, but I would have kind of, do you need to close just before Christmas? You know, it's.
Well, I mean, it's not even on Staples. That's on the property owner that, you know, whatever their rent was increased to.
Yeah.
It's becoming, you know, I know there's a lot of other costs. I mean, I see the cost in insurance, you know, your workers' comp insurance is there.
Yeah.
It's increased greatly. And that's what's hurting me, you know, the general public right now is the increase in your necessities.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I applaud you, Matt, because you're in the trenches. I mean, you're not some, you know, wealthy guy, not that any of the people on the council are wealthy, but you're boots on the ground kind of guy. And that's a compliment, by the way.
Thank you. No, I know. I get it. That's,
yeah. People say, you know, you worry too much about this one, or you worry too much about the fire. I don't worry. I want you to recognize what they do, because I go to the various places and I listen to people who have no, let me say it one more time. No comprehension of what schools are like today, what the police are dealing right. with, the fire.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And I have a unique perspective of, you know, I have obviously with my father was a firefighter. Yeah. Things have changed since he's retired.
I have
some friends on the fire department. I've worked closely with the police department in town here. So I know their challenges. You know, I, in the same line of work, you know, that the police are in, and I know the challenges that they face on a day-to-day basis, you know, for me, that's why I'm a public safety supporter. You know, people complain about how much money, you know, we're giving to, you know, the police or fire. It's like, well, you know what, when you need the police, then you may hope to God you don't need them in your whole life. But when they respond, when there's an emergency or you have a medical emergency, there's no set of lights you want to see than those coming up the street, you know?
Yeah. And the glory of where we live and the forethought of our forebears, forefathers and mothers is that we have fire stations strategically located throughout the city. So it isn't a long run to get to you. I'm at most 6 minutes, you know?
Yeah. Our response times is
phenomenal. Yeah. Yeah, and I got to reach out again to Chief Sammons. I got to get him on to talk about the hazards associated with the holidays, because I just saw this weekend a guy with an indoor extension cord running it out halfway out his lawn to one of those inflatables. So that's why they have indoor outdoor. But cool.
Yeah, I have my outdoor. I haven't put them up yet. My kids are on me to put them up, but they'll be up this weekend probably.
Well, you know, I would say now after a year, you're a seasoned counselor. You went through kind of a tumultuous budget, little baptism by fire kind of thing. What's been the joy of the job other than helping people? Those meetings, I applaud you. Sometimes I get hung up and I go out to get something. I come back, the meeting's over.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think everybody gets along. You know, we all have very vast different opinions on things, you know, politically, but I've said it from day one, any municipal government position, you know, elected position should not be political. Your party affiliation should have no bearing on what you're trying to do. And I think we all have the same goal of making this a wonderful community. Yeah. And, you know, we've all influenced each other's opinions. You know, I've changed my opinion on certain things based on conversations with other counselors. You know, I've really, you know, grown to enjoy my time with, you know, discussing things with them. You know, and like I said, they've influenced my decision. Said, you know what, that's a great point. I never looked at it that angle. You know, I'm now not in support of this. So, you know, we got some stuff we're going to be voting on. You know, not necessarily, you know, imperative things going in the next few weeks, but stuff that's going to be, you know, could cost the city some money, and some things that, you know, people are very passionate about, and other people that are passionately against.
And you know, I agree, and. I don't think people understand the when people say, well, I want to run for city council, what I often tell, or been telling them this for years, get with a ward counselor and follow that person around for a week. It's not just Tuesday nights or a couple of phone calls.
Right.
It's almost like a second job.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, like I said, that 2 weeks ago, that, you know, I'm answering Sundays. My son likes to watch, if we don't have a hockey game or something else, or when the girls don't have anything, we like to watch football all day, you know.
Yeah.
And my son will, you know, play around and we'll talk about football. You know, I'm taking a phone call on a Sunday at 4:30 in the afternoon in the middle of a football game because I want to make sure that these people are taken care of and their voices are heard and they can get put in the right direction of what, you know, what resource they need to go to get this problem fixed.
And I think that will shine through. You know, Smitty Pignatelli has a great motto. I guess he got it from his dad. If we do our job every day, we don't have to worry about election day.
Yeah, that's great. I never heard that before. That's,
yeah. And, you know, I have to, like you said, the mayor, I think, came up with a decent budget. And I worry about this coming year's budget.
Yep. I agree. I think there's going to be some federal cuts. I think the grant money is going to be different. I think that there are going to be positions that were grant funded that I'm going to have to be cut, you know, and that's unfortunate. Again, I'm not, you know, this person that wants to go to a budget and go, all right, let's cut this person, that person, you know, there are people are complaining about this person. Let's fire him or her. And, you know, that's not, you know, I don't want to be responsible for that, you know, and that's, but it's a tough job that needs to be done. And if we want to have a thriving city, we need to make tough decisions.
Absolutely. And, you know, you got to say, I think we've turned the corner of, you know, it's taken, what, 25 years. GE's not coming back. Everybody realizes that now.
Yeah.
That's those I-beams that are being cut up every day and shipped out. But I also think I feel really good about what they're trying to do with North Street and the businesses down there, the various groups. And you have Chief Dowley and District Attorney Shagrew. I mean, they're going after the hardened criminals, the drug dealers, the gun carriers. I think we're on a kind of a renaissance. That's just me. From what I'm seeing.
You know, the objective is to make the city safer, you know, and we need to, you know, respect what they're doing. You know, I see a lot of things with the district attorney's office is doing with even the theft and retail theft in stores. You know, they're really cutting down on the losses these businesses are taking. And that's, you know, I know Walmart and Target and, you know, all those stores are the biggest victims of that. But it's happening to small business, too.
Oh, yes,
you know, Walmart can afford to lose some, you know, items. But if you go into a small, you know, jewelry store, or a small hardware store, like we have some good ones here in town, and people, you know, the theft could really, you know, really hurt the bottom line for a long time for some people.
Yeah, and I say this, this is me, not Matt. Please shop locally. I watched this commercial the other day, and it really kind of bugged me. And it was, there are advantages of shopping online. You don't have to go in a cold. You don't have to get a parking space. But our local businesses, there are neighbors, there are friends, they go to the same church, same synagogue, same temple. I mean, I try to buy as much as I can locally for two reasons. One, I'm really terrible at computers. And last time I ordered something, I didn't need four a box of four hairspray. So that came with whatever I was. But seriously, I would say that to our viewers and listeners before we go to break. Shop locally, really and truly. They're our neighbors. They're our people. They're our friends. I'm here today with Matt Wren. He is a city councilor. I tried counseling him. He didn't listen. But he's, in my opinion, doing a great job. And I would say this. Watch the counselors. Matt listens, and then he process. And like he's already said, he's changed his mind on things when he heard what the other councilors brought up. That shows me that's the kind of politician, that's the kind of elected official we want in office, in my opinion. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your Ray Didio dial. PCTV channels 1301. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Hey, it's Sean from WTBR FM. Whether you just found this station for the first time or you've been listening for years, you might not know everything about WTBR FM. Want to find out more? It's easy. Just go to WTBRFM.com. You can find full programming schedules, listen to the station anywhere in the world, subscribe to our podcasts, and even learn to create a program of your own. And of course, donate to the station. That's WTBRFM.com. Check it out today.
Greetings, this is John Pollock, host of The Jazz Train, which comes your way every Saturday night from 10 to 11:30. The Jazz Train generally features music recorded on a particular calendar date in years past and provides relevant commentary and discographical details. So why not join me for a ride on The Jazz Train for a weekly musical adventure, coming to you on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we are back. I am honored and privileged to have with me today Matthew Wrenn, city councilor, ward councilor, and fresh eyes, fresh breath, younger guy, well-seasoned. Well-seasoned is employment and past employment. And now he'll have he almost has a year under his belt as a city councilor, and he still looks normal.
So, I didn't have much hair when I started, so yeah. Nobody's going to notice if I lost any.
So what do you think the challenges for the next budget will be?
Like we talked about before, I think it's going to be, you know, some federal funding that's going to be lost in different areas. And I think trying to recoup that to maintain the services it's going to be challenging. But I think it may not be pretty conversations. It may not be, you know, as cordial as we want them to be. But if we still want to be, you know, fiscally responsible with the budget and not wasteful and raising taxes arbitrarily, we need, you know, we got to make some tough decisions.
Yeah.
And that's not going to be easy.
No, and we get down to, we'll go back to it again. I personally think it's working out well. I don't know in the inside scoop, but for me and for my neighbors, the trash pickup. Mm-hmm. I think there's some, you know, learning curves and stumbling blocks and all those words, but overall, I really think it's really doing well.
Yeah, I mean, I have some acquaintances and friends that are, you know, they're hell bent on not liking it and not being for it, and it's going to be tough in the snow. Those wheels aren't that good, and the barrels are heavy. And I hear them. I hear their gripes with it, and I understand. But financially, it just wasn't conducive anymore. Wasn't sustainable to keep doing it. Trust me, I did a major garage clean out, weeks before I got the new barrels too.
Yeah.
But, and I have to have a second barrel. I got a big family and, but overall, after living in a different community that had a similar situation with trash, I think it's been, it has its problems. There's been some errors in, number of units in a house or, someone didn't get a barrel, but even Casella has been, it didn't pick up my old trash barrels for a week. They've been pretty responsive in having that done. The mayor's office has done a great job with poor Brittany, and the mayor's office has probably got a call, every day, getting nailed at for something that she's just trying to help facilitate. So she's done an amazing job trying to get, Catherine Van Ramer's done a good job over there with the communication with it. You know, it's been pretty good. And knock on wood, I think we're almost out of the water. There hasn't been an increase of people leaving trash everywhere.
No
more than it was before. And I think it's been a success, actually.
Yeah. And like I said,
I'll probably take some heat for that, though.
Oh, I take heat. Yeah. Even saying I was for it, it was like, are you crazy? And I think that's already been established somewhere that about me being crazy. But right. I also knew what we were paying to haul it.
Right.
And you want to talk about your taxes and cutting your taxes. That would have become a real burden.
A majority of people were that, you know, may not have recycled before are now like, oh, okay, now, you know, we realize that there's value in recycling. You know, whether it's, you know, and, you know, now I got to go out into the side of my house outside in the cold to put recycling away. But, you know, it's for me, that's, you know, that's the biggest challenge I have. You know, I got a little spot I leave in the garage and the next day when I go out, I'll do it. But I think, you know, it's really making more people mindful of waste and you know, it's maybe I won't throw this, you know, water bottle in the trash bag. I'll throw it, you know, out in the recycling bin. So it's definitely made me more mindful as a family about recycling.
Yeah. And I agree with that 100%. Same with us. I find it for us, it's just easier for us to do that. We have the bins right in the garage. I had to do some, rearranging, and to me, it just makes more sense. I mean, we don't need the big, big recycling thing. But it's okay. We'll handle it. We'll make it work.
I mean, I would have preferred larger barrels. But, you know, it's to me, it's not worth the argument over, you know, a few ounces.
Yeah. But, and you have a big family, but
there's
just us now. One of the things, the first week we had the toters was my grandson's second birthday. So we had a big party here. That took some engineering.
Yeah. Of course, yeah, I bet it did. Yeah. I mean, that's, I'm kind of, you know, wondering about Christmas coming up and packages are already starting to come and, you know, I started to, you know, open them and, you know, hide them in our hiding spots in the house and, you know, breaking down the boxes and putting them in the garage and then putting them to the barrel.
But, me too.
It's, you know, it's just, you know, just more, an extra step. I get it. And some people may not be capable of that, but there's people that'll help. You know, I know that a lot of people are still worried about the barrels and their heavy and their weight. I've helped a few people get on the list, the backyard trash removal list. And most of the Casella employees are, you know, eager to help neighbors out because they're neighbors, you know, and they're going to go out and help move barrels from the side of the house.
I can't. And this is a, I have seen such a dramatic improvement on the all-over trash collection since Casella's taken over. In fact, I'm going to reach out and have some of them come on. It's one of the things we had to face. And again, I applaud the mayor and the council and all of you, Ricardo, and all the people involved with it. And Catherine, and like you said, Brittany, anybody who said that they didn't know about the trash stuff, then you got to show me the cave you're living in.
And I get it. A lot of folks don't, you know, aren't on the internet all the time, or they don't, you know, but there was, you know, reverse phone
group
calls,
meetings,
there was a multiple meetings, and, you know, I believe Councilor Conant and I requested an additional meeting. He wanted one in Ward 4 and I wanted one in Ward 3. And they, you know, they added those two for us. You know, they added one in Spanish for some people that couldn't speak English. And that's great. You know, we're accommodating our citizens.
Let me ask you this about that. You just tricked my mind. You're coming up Newell Street, the place that they had the no right turn. There's a sign, no right turn on the, Elm Street.
Street.
And that place is gone now. It's an apartment. It used to be a business. It's my understanding, my memory, which you don't want to bet your life on.
Oh, you're talking coming up Newell, but taking a right onto East.
Yeah, it says no right turn. That, yeah, they ought to take that sign down now. It's not applicable. I don't.
And it's on my list actually because.
Good.
I have a prioritized list of it's very much longer than I thought it was going to be in my first term, but it's on my to do list and I'm hoping to move forward on that in 2025. There's some other situations I got. I'm really kind of hanging on to. There's a major drainage project that's going to happen on Newell Street this year.
Oh, good.
I'm making sure that the constituent over there is taken care of. He's been fighting for 20 plus years trying to get this thing situated, and the money's been there for a few years, and now it's just a matter of getting the contracting involved and getting the work done.
For the folks that just tuned in and just heard that, because we're our morning show, there's people in and out all, I want you to digest what he just said. This has been happening for a long time. He's brought it, got money for it, now he's bringing it to action. And his name is Matthew Wren. He's Ward 3 counselor. He's new. He's got fresh eyes. He's got a lot of energy. And this is the kind of person we want, in my opinion, in public office, because he gets stuff done. It's like Congressman Neal, I've known since the 70s. Yeah, he's a big shot in Washington, but he gets stuff done for us. He never forgot where he came from. I'll say it. Thank you for running for office. That'll get me in trouble probably with your entire family, but.
No, I appreciate your kind words. That means a lot.
No, they're not kind or true. I mean, I can be harsh too, and I don't like to be.
I did this for, to help. Not to, I've had a few people come up to me and said, hey, I heard this and I heard that, good job. I'm like, or I'll be out somewhere and they'll, hey, counselor, no, just Matt, don't need to do that. But
yeah,
appreciate it.
When you think of your background and all that you put into where you're at in life so far, I think it's all coming to fruition on the council.
Thank you.
You've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yep.
And that's important, I think, for people who are making decisions about the whole. When I hear, we're going to close a fire station to save, I don't know how much. Well, you're an insurance guy. What happens when you close a fire station? You can see a rise in your insurance.
Yeah. I mean, and I only deal with the fraud end of it, but I have a good understanding of, what happens. And, your response times start dropping, then certain rates go up. You get your people are getting injured and, then grant money fails. You don't start getting as much grant money because, your response time dropped last year. You're going to lose employees. There's a whole snowball effect that stuff happens.
Yeah, and again, yeah, I can remember a few years back about that wicked winter. I was telling an insurance guy, he's not in town anymore. He couldn't possibly not even be around anymore. But he said to me, if we continue with this accident rate, we're going to have insurance rates our local go up. So, this is one that I think can be a cost savings, and it can also be kinder to the department heads. Excuse me. Thank you. What's your position on civil service?
I think we should get out of civil service, to be honest. And I know it is a tough topic, but if you're having trouble, and I'm not saying we're having trouble finding, suitable candidates. I think, we can bring in if you need an officer, now you're saving money not having to put an officer through the academy. You can move them over laterally. Their previously accrued retirement time you know, and then they can add it to theirs. You know, those tests, you know, you're going to get better candidates. You're going to get more viable options for, you know, police officers or firefighters, people that, you know, that really are dedicated, not just, you know, oh, I did well on the test. I'll just do this job because it'll pay me a good salary and I can have, you know, 2 days off a week. Not that people are all people are doing that, but they're out there. The people that do that, then, you know, and I know the law enforcement agencies are having difficulty getting good quality people.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that getting out of civil service will help that.
And I, it's costly.
Yeah. That was my next point.
Yeah. Unduly costly, you know, and it takes all this time to get the test, to get the results, to get through this, to get through that. And then you got to send them to the academy. You know, you could be talking a year or more.
A year or even more than that. Yeah. And you know, you got, you know, then you hire somebody, you've vested the money in that person. They've gone through the academy, they've gone through the background, they've gone through the physicals. And then all of a sudden there's an issue with the post, you know, post group in Boston.
Yeah.
You know, I think you get somebody that's already been established. You know, obviously you take new people too, but you know, if you take a lateral transfer, you know, and it's somebody that's already been trained and seasoned, it will cut down the cost.
I agree. And then you don't have the poor chiefs get up there, Sammons and Chief Sammons and Chief Dolly get up there and say, oh, how come your overtime budget was so high? Well, we have to have so many people
right
on duty all the time. And,
you know, and we want, you know, a lot of people want additional traffic officers, you know, dealing with the speeding problem because there's a ton. I mean, and that's everywhere. I mean, people are just, they've lost the ability to drive with common sense, I guess, you know, and people are flying all over the place.
Yeah.
We could bring in some more officers and start doing some traffic details of, you know, catching people speeding.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you, you know, where I live on William Street, it's,
yep.
And kudos to Chief Dolly. They have had some radar down here. I know the strip. I have the sand around. They got to pull the radar to go to the calls. But I mean, Herberg School is here. And the other day I was out for my walk and a person pulled out and passed two cars in the school zone. You're right. People have lost whatever common sense.
They've lost their patience, you know, and it's like, just wait an extra 25 seconds. It's not going to kill you. You know, just, and not that I'm the, you know, perfect driver, although I haven't had a speeding ticket since I was like 19, but, it's just a matter of being responsible on the road. Like, you know, you want to be respectful to people. One of the ways of being respectful on the road is not, you know, not be texting while driving. You're not, you know, on Facebook while you're driving around town.
Yeah.
There's kids around, you know, and on my long list of stuff for next year, there's some crosswalks and, you know, I know speed bumps are not a popular topic, but there's some of those on my list as well.
Yeah. And I think too, you're right. People aren't as courteous as they used to be. There's some parking issues in some of the wards. Like the days of parking on both sides of the street are probably gone on some of these streets.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, some streets have been narrowed and stuff for speeding, but, you know, and they still, there's parking on both sides. And now, you know, you can't see kids walking in between cars.
No.
You can't, you know, I just had a stop sign put in on Ontario Street.
And oh, cool.
That's because, you know, obviously you don't need a stop sign when you're going to be approaching a main thoroughfare because it's supposed to be understood you stop. But people will just look to the left there. You know, if you're coming, you know, if you're going towards Elm Street, they're just looking to the left to see if it's safe to take a right. They're not looking to see who's walking on the right or who's, you know, might be, you know, walking out of their house or pulling out of the driveway right there. So hopefully it helps.
Andy, in my lifetime, I've seen it all. The other day was the best one. A lady backing down a street to get to a parking space that had to be 40, 50 yards away, backing down the street.
I see it on the Mass Pike all the time. They missed their, they got off the wrong exit, so they think they can back off and get back on.
You, I've got, before we're getting close to, But you know, is there anything special you'd like to put out to your ward or the city, to your constituents?
No, just that, you know, thanks for putting me in this position, and you know, please don't hesitate to reach out to me for anything. You know, if it's something we can fix or a problem we can address, then we'll do it. If it's something that's, you know, an outside problem, we'll make sure the right people get notified, and, you know, we'll do our best.
And you know, for the listeners and the viewers, think about what he just said. He's just he's committed to helping the people. And yet we have some issues in the city. There's no question about it. I mean, this isn't, we're not Pollyanna about this, but we are making some wonderful strides forward.
You name me any city in this Commonwealth that has no problem.
Yeah, you know, well, that's good point. In this world.
Yeah.
But Matt, I can't thank you enough for coming on. I can't thank you enough for running, and I mean that, and just making a difference. And you do, and I think people need to, for the counselors that are making a difference, and I think most of them are, I have a lot of respect. I know Earl Persip, Counselor Persip. Sometimes, you know, people say, well, why did he ask? Well, he wants answers to questions. He does a good, he's a kind guy. He's a big guy. He's like a gentle giant. But he, listen to what he's asking. I think it's valid. Well, same with you. I mean, I said it early on in the show. Yes, Matt doesn't say a lot, but when he does, it's worthwhile listening. And I mean that.
Yes. I appreciate that. I mean, your kind words mean a lot to me, especially coming from a man of your stature. And I enjoy coming on here, you know.
You know, and take this as a compliment. There was another person, Churchill Cotton, didn't say a lot when he was on the council. I don't know if you ever watched him.
No.
But when Churchill spoke, it was worth listening. Right. And it was what was said had to be said. I have the greatest respect for that man and always will. Same with Lou Markham. Lou Markham the same way. I don't know if you knew Coach Markham, but
no. You know,
he was at BCC and everything. The best through this holiday season. And
you as well.
Well, I don't know how many trash barrels, recyclable barrels I'll need, but if you see them around the front of the house with a Christmas tree on them, it's just my way of saying happy Merry Christmas. Don't go. I got a couple of announcements. If you can hang 1 minute, Matt.
Sure. Absolutely.
There is an event honoring Joe Wachowski. We've been friends since teenagers. Joe Wachowski will be held Sunday, December 22nd, Berkshire Hills Country Club. From 1 to 4, it's an afternoon event. The cost is $25, with a portion of the $5 going to the Monday Morning Quarterback Scholarship Fund. Joe has been a referee. He was a St. Joe player, all around great guy, good friend. So I want to get that out to you. And also too, the W.E.B. Du Bois Center down in South County. I'm a big supporter of theirs, so if you can help with that. The Salvation Army, the Bell Ringers. If you give a buck to that place, trust me, that buck is going to somebody other than them. And I've always been a big believer in the Salvation Army, and I try to support them. I never pass. I may only have a quarter, but I never pass a bell ringer. And I thank those people who volunteer to ring the bells. So this is a season. Let's put aside the election's over. Let it go. We'll find out what the future brings. But this holiday season, let's be kind to each other. Because, you know, in this world, each other. That's all we have. Matt Wren, you are a good counselor. Thank you for running.
Thank you.
And then take, when you go off, grab your family and say, the fat bald guy said to thank you for letting me run. So, Matt, you're the best. Best to your family, to your mom and dad, too. Tell them I said hi.
Will do. God bless. And Merry Christmas to you guys.
Merry Christmas to you. God bless everybody. And remember, lift somebody's burden today. It'll make you feel better, and it will certainly help them. You remember what I just said? All we have is each other. Let's take care of each other. Thank you. Talk to you, Matt.
Bye. I'll keep on.